son sort fait en sorte qu'elle peut lancer un sort à une autre personne. Et à l'autre personne qu'elle décide de faire, c'est à son patron ratoureux. Et son patron ratoureux se transforme en femme et il va être servi à sa propre sauce.
Il va goûter
à sa propre médecine.
Exactement.
Exactement.
Ah, c'est intéressant. Donc, Gisèle et Béatrice
oui.
de Ferroumont.
Oui.
Bande dessinée 18 ans et plus, encore une fois.
Air libre.
Avec une illustration un peu cartoon, mais pas trop.
Ouais, hein,
mais
ouais.
des gros visages, des grosses têtes, mais
ouais.
thématique adulte est quand même intéressante.
Oui, et l'histoire est très, très, très bonne.
C'est tout pour aujourd'hui, Marc-André. On n'a plus de temps.
Ah non, j'avais plein
c'est
de choses
fini.
À dire.
Restez à l'antenne. Restez à l'écoute. Il y a plein de bonnes émissions qui s'en viennent sur les ondes de CKUT.
90.3 FM. On se voit bientôt. On vous aime. Ciao,
bye
ciao.
Bye.
The Prison Radio Show is a twice-monthly news show on CKUT. The show seeks to confront the invisibility of prisons and prisoner struggles by focusing on the roots of incarceration, policing, and criminalization, and by challenging ideas about what prisons are and who ends up inside. We are dedicated to programming that is directly collaborative with people who are currently incarcerated. With that in mind, we would like to let you know that we have a phone line for prisoners and their outside supporters. In fact, we have two phone lines. You can call us Collect from Bordeaux Prison and Riviere de Prairie Prison by calling 514-876-3748. We also have a number for non-collect calls. That number is 438-337-8423. Feel free to call that number and leave a message for us with news to share on the show or an audio message for your loved ones inside.
We pledge resistance.
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
First moving to Montreal, I was staying with a friend on De Gaspé near Montreal, and he suggested we go and check out a show at Casa del Popolo. Turned out that this was a Swoney show, I'm pretty sure, and also the last AIDS Wolf show, and I remember having my mind blown. And that was not the only time that Swoney blew my mind. After, a few months later, or a few weeks later, I guess, when I'd moved fully to Montreal, I had the opportunity to see Charles Gale play in Casa del Popolo, and that set changed my life. That's not an exaggeration, that's just the truth. The way that Charles played the saxophone, the way he played the piano, and he ended his set in tears at the way that people had received his music, and members of the audience were also in tears at the way he had shared. So I can't speak highly enough about what Swoney has brought to this city and brought to me. I'm very fortunate now to work at Swoney and have done so for the past 2 or 3 years, and I'm very excited for this year's festival. So today, on the Montreal Sessions, you're going to hear some music, obviously, and some interviews with different people who are collaborating with Swoney or performing at Swoney this year, talking about their shows and their practice. My name is James Goddard, and thank you so much for listening. This is CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, or Jajage. And this is the Montreal Sessions, so enjoy. We're going to open with a track by New Chance.
Soft landing. Each time the golden light travels the sky, I'm asking time. Thank you.
Thank you.
was Bennu Side A by Sam Shalabi. Interested in getting tickets for any of the Swoney shows, please go to swoneyperilpopolo.org and buy some tickets. I would also recommend that you tune in next week to the Montreal Sessions, and there may well be a ticket giveaway happening. Thank you.
Your face. Joe Chimatti.
Nice to talk to you, James.
So what do you do, Joe?
Well, I'm at work currently, but in my spare time, I do basically the same thing I do at work, which is ship records around the world.
So it's both a professional and a personal project.
It's a lifestyle, yeah.
Okay. And, at your work, you do it for Constellation Records, and then at home, you do it for
Celluloid Lunch.
And that project encompasses a bunch of things, eh?
At this point, yes. It's started off as just a kind of rinky-dink zine that was Xerox at home kind of thing. Skateboarders are interfering. That's fine. And then we put out a couple records, which I had done before on my own or in cahoots with different people a few times, just really small scale. So, but this time we just gave it a name, and I was doing it with my partner, Helene. And that's just kind of spiraled into like somewhat of a consistent churn of like a bit of a heavier zine.
Yeah, it's getting pretty thick these days.
Yeah, and just like glomming on to other writers and collaborators and then putting out records, which we've put out 10 so far.
Yeah, what are some of the releases? I know you not only put out new records, but you also do reissues, and you're kind of interested in the history of Montreal punk.
Yeah, we just recently did our first two reissues, which, as you can imagine, it's more work, but it's really fulfilling and less negotiating timing and stuff like that. And there's kind of like more, like, I don't want to say there's more interest in old music because it's a bit of a depressing thought, but it may be true for people who collect physical objects. And we did a reissue of the Devices, which were a little-known Montreal kind of punk or punk-adjacent rock band from 79 to 1980. And, yeah, their stuff never got put out. They had some flirtations with a major label, but nothing came of it. So we put that out. And the other thing was the Stone Men, which is a band from Capilano, New Brunswick, from the 60s. And that's been great because so many people were just waiting for it to happen. The record cost like $3,000 and there was no picture sleeve or anything. So it was a chance to use some of Fernand, one of the brothers in the band's archival materials, and get to know him a bit, which was great too. And he's overjoyed about it, so everybody wins.
Cool. And you also, so you're doing a couple shows at Swami.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. We're doing a show at Le Chateau, which is in the Durocher Lofts, on June 9th. Local talent Eliza Caution and the Sesame Snaps, which is Submissives related project, and David Nance.
Submissives and Pizza Bouquet.
And Pizza Bouquet, that's right, yeah. Also featured in the zine, the new issue. And David Nance from Oklahoma and Emily Robb from Philadelphia. And then the next day at Sala Rosa, we've got Free Love Fenner, Hometown Heroes, the Retail Simps, which is my current fake band, and Astute Palette from Philadelphia, featuring Emily Robb and David Nance, among others.
Cool. And did you know Eliza is playing the festival the most this year?
Oh, really?
She's playing. She has three separate gigs.
I knew she was playing in Wakefield.
Yeah, she's doing the Wakefield, and she's also part of a project that was supposed to happen in December, but obviously we weren't able to do in-person things in December, so it got pushed, and then it made sense to just include it in the festival, and they're doing sound three musical artists, Belinda Campbell, Liza Koshin, and Andres Salas, doing scoring short films by three filmmakers, Carlos Soriana.
Sounds cool.
Barrack Many Wounds, and Nadia Gomez.
Yeah, I might have to go to Wakefield, as much as that doesn't sound appealing. Because Willie Mitchell, I want to see that.
Yeah. Did you catch him when he played in the fall at the Sala Rosa?
No.
Yeah, that was a good show. It was one of our first back post pandemic swoony off season gigs, and he came down and he was he's just such a great performer and storyteller.
And does he play with a band?
He hasn't. The last time I saw him was at Sala, and he was playing solo, and I think his plan is to play solo again in Wakefield. But
okay.
But he's just a really captivating performer. And he's a great storyteller as well. So while the music's great, and then he tells all the stories behind the songs, and they're all really rambly stories. Just a sweetheart. Really highlight performance.
What are you most excited about?
Well, I always love a good experimental saxophone player. So definitely excited for Fire, which is Mats Gustafsson's trio. They're going to play one of the last shows of the festival, I think, on the 29th, and then also Jason Sharp's new project.
Is that not with Jason Sharp?
No, that's a different. But Jason Sharp's new project with Jason Sharp, Kai Kellogg, Tanya Evanson, Joe Grass, Jesse Zubat, Josh Zubat, Jason.
So who's who?
it's a huge all star lineup. Kevin Lowe doing projections. So it's just like a bunch of really heavy hitter artists in town, and all coming together to have this like crazy 9-piece band and performance art thing. So it's really cool. And obviously, anytime you get a chance to see Kai Kellogg play, I would highly recommend it. He's just a wordsmith, unparalleled wordsmith, I would say. So those are some of the highlights for me. That project's called Fear. And then I'm excited for Kia Ville's doing her record launch, so that's going to be a cool show. And Mark Molnar is coming down to do an opening set for that. He's always great. And
that'll be good. I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Why do you say the Retail Simps is a fake band? Because I remember really recording for you.
That's right. You're in the band. But that was really the only time. I don't think we've all been in the same room. Or we were, but we haven't all played together.
Yeah.
And it's a funny show, that June 10th show. I don't think this should be a disclaimer. To me, it's a point of excitement. But the Retail Simps has basically never played. We played one outdoor thing under a different name. Freela Fenner haven't played in about 3 years, and their formation has changed since. And Astute Palette, it's their second show ever, because they recorded their record and played a show. They don't even live in the same town. And then the record did really well. People liked it, and now people want them to play.
Okay, so
it's all fresh.
It's going to be all fresh. First or second chance to see some of these things on stage.
Exactly.
I was speaking with Peter and Caitlin over the weekend, and they were saying they're just dusting off the old the old material, because it's a ball of nerves,
but it's kind of unwarranted, because I've never seen them flub in any capacity.
No, they're such, I almost want to say perfectionists with everything they do.
That's apt.
And so they spend a lot of time and take a lot of care in all their projects. So I'm excited to see this new iteration of the band and hear how they've moved through the pandemic. And I know they're also planning on having some slide projections.
Oh, great. And not to be alarmist, but there is a pretty large likelihood that they will not play for another 3 years.
Yeah. Well, they
I think the pandemic was more of an excuse for them than it was.
Yeah. Well, they're older is an interesting term, but you know, they've been around and making music for quite, you know, I would probably in town, like, almost, I want to say almost 2 decades, probably.
Sure. And Caitlin has some roots in the rave scene as well.
Yeah. She told me once about a story about raving in Sudbury with some dude who had a boa constrictor. So you were born and raised in Montreal.
Well, West Island.
West Island.
People might scoff at that, but yeah.
So I suspect, you know, and you're, you know, interested in music and stuff. So have you been to any Swoonies previously?
Sure, yeah. I've been in and out of town for, like, my adult life, basically. But I have some really fond memories of the festival and just the programming centered around Sala and Casa when I was younger. One that just, like, instantly comes to mind is seeing Joe Lally, the bass player from Fugazi. I was, like, a fan of Fugazi and, you know, just kind of opening my ears to more experimental instrumental music. And he played in a trio formation with Helen Money, a cellist, accompanied them sometimes. And it was a great show, and particularly she opened the show, and her set was, like, nothing I had ever heard before, really. It was kind of out of my sphere at that point. And I have a really distinct memory of her using a loop pedal to play a Minutemen song and cover, like, all the melodies and rhythms represented in the song just with the cello. Okay. And, you know, I was kind of coming from a more, like, punk or, like, post-punk kind of background. Seeing that, like, seeing a more, you know, almost classical adjacent show, and then seeing her do that, I was like, I felt like it was for me. It was very cool. And yeah, just like Suoni's challenging, like, it has like a really good track record for bringing challenging things to town and Canada in general that, like, would not necessarily get play. And, like, it's hard in Canada because the left field music scene is very small and spread out, and the fact that, like, you've got Suoni and other kind of similar festivals or bookers just taking a hit for everyone else who's into it, and also, you know, like, challenging expectations, it's really great. And it's, like, kind of a big part of Montreal in my estimation, because I don't really remember the time pre-Casa and Sala, like, you know, a lot of people a bit older would, but yeah, so I think it's important, and I'm excited to be a part of it.
This is the 22nd edition of the festival, and it's the actual, in some ways it's kind of like the 20th anniversary edition, because that was supposed to happen in 2020,
right?
But 2020 and 2021 we had to move online, so this is kind of the first, this is kind of the 20th IRL festival.
That's cool. And yeah, there's something special about the fake retail Simps band, which is that it's like a kind of generation-spanning band.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was hoping you'd bring that up.
Chris is like, Chris Burns, for the listeners, is really like a gem of the Montreal music scene, and I feel lucky to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Obadiah, who's playing bass in the band, is a 19-year-old kid from Sackville, New Brunswick. And so I think the age gap in the band is like about 40 years, or the span about 40 years. And it's just really cool. And I think it speaks to the longevity of Suoni and, like, the longevity of just kind of left-field creativity that happens only because people will it to happen. And
yeah, it's Chris Burns is a... Is he, was Chris Burns part of the Devices?
No, not the Devices, but he has played with members of in the American Devices.
In the right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you for talking to me, Joe.
Well, thanks for having me.
No problem.
You're listening to CKUT
90.3 FM
in Montreal, Quebec, Canada.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Amelie. I am based in Vancouver. I used to live in Montreal before. I'm an artist manager, sort of specialized in experimental and improvised music. I used to work for Sony, actually. That's it.
Yes, you did.
I did.
And now your new artist management company is co-presenting a show with us this year.
Yeah, I founded a couple years ago a management company called Act Art Management, I'm going to be co-presenting a show on June 17th, and it's going to be Kiaville's release show, so that's pretty exciting. Kiaville released her first album with Constellation on March 11th. We're pretty excited to have this show during the festival.
Excellent. Yeah, and tell us a little bit about Kiaville. I mean, I think some of the listeners might already know, but for those that don't, give us a little a little taste or whatever.
Oh, a taste. You have to listen to have a taste of Kiaville. It's pretty hard to describe with words. So Kiaville is a Montreal artist, originally from the